went down to the river to watch the fish swim by. But I got to the river so lonesome I wanted to die, oh Lord. And then I jumped in the river, but the doggone river was dry. She's long gone, and now I'm lonesome blue.
Hello and welcome to Long Gone, the podcast. This is Ryan Hetzer, and we have a kind of a unique and special episode, the first in what I hope will be a series of episodes for the podcast. Now, if you're a subscriber and coming across this, I want to tell you right away that this podcast is going to be specific to the Sim Sports Gaming League, Out of the Park Baseball League that I joined a couple of months ago, I guess it's been at this point. And we'll be talking about the Out of the Park baseball game, specifically today, the National League West division, of which, you know, my team's the San Francisco Giants, and I've got a couple of the other general managers with me today as guests. So if you're not really into Out of the Park baseball, if you're more of someone that's listened to the podcast in the past for Cardinal specific information, then you might want to, you know, skip this particular episode. But certainly if you play Out of the Park baseball at all, this is definitely something you might be interested in, even if you're not in the Sim Sports Gaming League. Always want to give the disclaimer, the name of the podcast, Long Gone, kind of one of the, what I think is sort of the most underrated baseball movies out there. So I always try to spread the word. If you've never come across or seen the movie Long Gone, and if you like a good baseball movie, I definitely recommend checking it out. There's an old kind of grainy version on YouTube, but it's the full movie. So, all right. Today, really excited to have with me from the Sim Sports Gaming League, Anthony and Phil. Anthony is the general manager of the Padres, and Phil, the GM of the Rockies. Guys, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Well, thank you for taking the time as we chatted a little bit before we started recording. This is a new venture, you know, something that I kind of had an idea, and my hope is for the other guys who, you know, within the SSG League that will listen to this, or hope they'll listen to this. My hope would be to have future episodes focusing on other divisions. So if you like what you hear and you're interested in coming on, make sure to give us some feedback and shoot me a message for future divisions. We said we wanted to start today's podcast just by talking about the game in general, not really getting too specific into the National League West quite yet. Maybe I'll start with Phil. I'll put you on the spot a little bit. What are kind of some of the things that you enjoy most about Out of the Park baseball, and maybe the SSG League, and then also feel free to include, you know, any things that maybe you wish the game would still kind of push forward and do and stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not to really get into how old I am. I'm just sort of old school in that was sort of like kind of a dream come true. I'm a Strat-O-Matic old guy. I used to play with the cards.
Yeah.
And that's actually how I found out about Out of the Park. I was on the Twitter page for Strat-O-Matic. And I mean, when I was younger, I'd meet a bunch of guys who'd play every summer, take some teams. Every year the new cards would come out, and I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with that game, but I mean, I'm a baseball junkie, sports junkie, and so when I can't remember if it was just an ad for OTP or if Mike's ad for SSG, but I just clicked on it on the Twitter page and I called up the game, and then I just couldn't believe it. It was just a computerized version just of what I'd always been doing as a kid. So it was awesome. And so,
yeah,
this has just been, I mean, if I could do anything, I mean, I'm a high school teacher, which is a fantastic job and I love it, but if I could do anything other than play second base for the Pittsburgh Pirates, I'd love to be a general manager. And this just puts you right there, especially, I love the way SSG, it's the only league I've ever seen that's just, it's daily, which I think makes our league really unique and special. It's too slow for a lot of people, but I love the daily, the pace to it.
Yeah. Well, I think the daily pace definitely adds that realism, you know, factor to it. And I know that for me, I mean, anytime I'm talking about any kind of sports game, realism is always so important. So, I mean, the pacing of the once a day sim definitely gets to that. And as far as the, well, Anthony, why don't I shoot the same question to you first before I go too deep into some things.
Okay. I started off playing sport baseball mogul, I guess probably in like the around 2000, 2003. And then I've been buying out of the park baseball, I guess, since 2006, 2007. Baseball management is probably like one of my most passionate side projects. I actually, when I was younger, I emailed every general manager in Major League Baseball. And I ended up getting probably like 16 responses back. And even the Allard Bard, the KC Royals GM, gave me a call. And it was probably the coolest 7 minutes of my life.
Cool.
Yeah. But I've been a part of the league now for, I guess, 2.5 years when I took over the Padres. And the league's amazing for, like, I love the slow play of the league, because typically when I played by myself, I got a computer so I could sim a season within 23 minutes. But now it's nice just having, like, the one-day sim each day, because you really look at the game differently and, like, you really want to build your team long term.
Yeah. I think that's, it gives you that time and to really dive deep into your minor league system, to sort of try to project, you know, out just like you do with, you know, your favorite major league team, whatever that team might be. I mean, you mentioned the Pirates. I mean, I'm from St. Louis. So you have no choice but to be a Cardinal fan. And that's what you do with your real life team that you follow. I mean, go ahead.
I might have to hang up on you right now because I can't.
Pirates Cardinals rivalry.
You just grow up. Tony La Russa, you just grow up hating them, but it's respect.
Yeah. It's one of those deals where you, you don't, you hate having them. You hate playing against them, but if you had them, you love him. I wasn't a big La Russa fan when he was with the A's, but he kind of course, won me over during his years in St. Louis. But one of the things that just kind of jumping around to different topics, I guess. But one of the things that I've being, you know, you guys have mentioned some of your history with the league. Now, I did as a kid play a bit of the Strat-O-Matic. My dad had introduced me to that, and I played some of that, but then a lot of my other baseball game experience has just been with kind of your console gaming, where you don't have that deep franchise mode. In fact, of course, it's been recently very hot topic with the Madden. There's been the big Madden controversy, and really, even MLB The Show, still the franchise mode leaves a lot to be desired. So for me, you know, just getting into out of the park baseball this past 2 months, it was overwhelming at first. I mean, really, like I had to, the amount of information, the amount of things that you could do. In fact, I mean, I'm still kind of, I mean, just the other day, I sort of discovered the function where you can use your scouting department to kind of filter and look within your organization as, like, you know, the guys with the top power tool projection, the guys with the top, and you can filter guys out that way. And that was really helpful for me, because just trying to get a handle on my minor league system outside of just, you know, how they're performing, you know, in their numbers on the field. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it was really overwhelming at first, but, you know, the depth of what you can do, I mean, I'm sure I haven't reached the bottom of it, and I don't know if either of you have any kind of perspective on that. Just the sheer depth of all the different things that you can do is really amazing.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, I've been doing this since the beginning. This is my fifth year. And I'll be honest, I didn't know you could do that with the scouting system. Like I know they've improved it in 21, and maybe I haven't. I do like the prospect pipeline.
Yeah.
But I gotta be honest, I do have a great scout, supposedly, according to his rating.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't made the best use of that scout. I don't know. Was that out there in 20, or is that a new?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know about this feature either.
Well, so basically, I mean, basically, if you go like, and I don't have the, I'm not in game right now, but if you, it's within the scouting tab, and you can set it for just your team, and then you can filter out. So like you can ask your scout for like the top, I think you can go as high as 20. But you can filter it out by tool. So you can say, okay, who are my top 20 power potential, my top 20 overall potential, my top 20, you know, contact, like you can filter it out, and you can do that by multiple teams as well. But you can also, just if you're trying to look just at your own team more closely. And yeah, I just discovered that the other day because I was really, I don't know how I ended up coming across it. I think I was just looking at which of my minor leaguers was in the top 100 prospect list. And then I just kind of started playing around a little bit, and that's where I found it. So I'm sure, if you mess around in that area, you'll find the way you can filter that out. With regard to prospects, I mean, another thing that, or I guess really it's not even just prospects, it's even at the major league level, how do you guys, what have you seen? And you've been in the league, you know, much longer than I have, both of you, but it seems to me that, and I like this about the league, I do, but that the scouting numbers or the, you know, the scout ratings, the 20 to 80 scale they give you, it doesn't always match up with on the field performance. And, you know, I found that pretty cool and interesting, but at the same time, just, I wonder if that's been your experience through the years, to where you'll have certain guys just sort of outplay or outperform their ratings. And then the opposite too, where you'll have guys that, and I have some guys in my organization where it's like the ratings look great, but the on the field performance just isn't cutting it. And, you know, maybe what are some of the things that all go into that you've picked up on through the years? Either of you can jump in on that.
Well, you sort of hit on like the big question. I know it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, Anthony, but, I know Mike's a big, on his podcast, when he's talked, is a big stats guy. Maybe I'm going, I have to be honest, I'm more of a rating guy. Because, I mean, statistically, it can be such a small window that you're looking at that you, it's just hard for me to trust stats until you get a big enough sample size to look at and evaluate your players. So I do sort of trust the ratings, which I don't know how you'd do that, Anthony, but my players seem to pretty much stay in line with their ratings.
And you know what? I found it was kind of good. My first year was a little bit of a write-off for the Padres. So really, it was an opportunity for me to get people who had a good skill set but weren't necessarily playing too often, and it didn't reflect in their stats. And through, like, after kind of like retooling that, I was just by following their skills, it seems like that, other than like Scooter Gennett, who doesn't really seem to have much, like his sorry, I'm rambling off here, but
you're fine.
You know what? I kind of find it, depending on the player, like, oh gosh. Sorry, I guess you want to cut that one out.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, so you were talking about Scooter Gannett being maybe a bit of an anomaly.
Yes, yeah, because, like, you know what? His numbers are, like, his skill ratings aren't the greatest, but he's consistently one of the best second basemen in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the same thing with Forrest Wall, who it's always funny to eventually find out that they're really not that good in real life. I don't even know where Forrest Wall is right now. but yeah, when a guy consistently performs like that, I mean, you have to keep playing him. But I do find that the ratings are at least a good place to start.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I guess I'm finding right now, probably more so in my minor league system, where I've got, again, kind of referring to those scout evaluations, looking at your top tools and your top guys. I've got a couple guys who are some of my top performers numbers-wise in the minor leagues, but they're really not that highly rated. And that could just be just those couple of guys and just kind of a, like we were saying, a bit of an anomaly that doesn't really fit the norm. But it's funny you mentioned, because I was going to ask you guys if you ever get affected by this. And again, I'm sort of the new guy to the league, and of course to this conversation as well. But you mentioned, like, not even knowing where Forrest Wall is right now, and I've had to kind of fight. I've had to fight through that a little bit. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that. Maybe at this point you've been playing the game long enough to where you don't. But just kind of fighting the idea that, like, I've got, like, Jose Ramirez on the Giants, so I'm thinking, like, well, Jose Ramirez is, of course, in real life, has turned himself into a monster. I mean, he's a stud.
Right.
but then for me, he's kind of just like this, you know, so-so hitting shortstop and, you know, doesn't really have the power that he has in real life. And I'm just kind of – when I'm first evaluating things, I'm thinking, oh, like, this guy's one of my main guys. But then in the game, he's really probably just an average – player. So I don't know, like, if you guys ever experienced
really,
going through that.
Really difficult. Yeah, it's really difficult not to think about real life. It's interesting the other way around too. There's a couple of players you have to wonder if they have relatives in the OOTP family in the gaming, like Mikhail Franco.
Yeah.
And on my team, Corey Dickerson, who might be my favorite non-pirate ever, and he actually got to play for us for about a year before we got rid of him like everyone else. But he's ridiculous in this game, and I'm not complaining. Yeah. But when you see him in real life, he's what, 5'10", 180 pounds, and even though he plays in Coors, his numbers are just ridiculous. And so I have to wonder about Franco, and you know, some of these guys are sort of, yeah, you wonder if the people who created the game like them too, obviously.
Do you know anything about, like, the algorithm of the game? It makes me – it does – like, what we're kicking around right now, this idea of how certain players just sort of blow up that they're not expecting, other players don't quite reach that potential, then you've got – you know, I know there are a couple names that I saw in the All-Star ballot and the Home Run Derby and so on that are, I guess, essentially fictional players because they're not, you know, they were drafted. They're not real players.
Right.
But I wonder how – I don't know if you guys have even looked into this at all, but sort of what the game's method is for sort of determining that. Is it
– no idea.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's probably all one big mathematical –
It's frustrating not knowing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But you got to just trust. I mean, like, real life, you got to trust the numbers, trust what you see. The other part of playing in Coors Field, it's hard to trust my numbers either, because you have to wonder outside the park you know, if they go play for somebody else, which I guess is the same in real life, are my guys really that good?
Yeah. Yeah, you got that same question, right? That exists for all former Rockies is, will those numbers translate? Or yeah,
it's a nightmare.
Well, and I guess too, when you make acquisitions, maybe you almost have to think too, like, well, if this guy has shown enough, maybe if he gets into Coors, he'll do even better. Something, you know, along those lines.
Well, just like real life, you know, I will not take a pitcher who's not ground ball. You tend toward batters with power. I mean, so that means kind of how I built the team. So
right.
That's another way that it sort of proves that the ratings are fairly accurate, because my ground ball pitchers are, you know, fairly successful.
Yeah.
As you can be in pitching in hell like that, but it's.
I want to get into our teams in a second. I want to come back real quick just to maybe is there, because we all talked about things that we really like. Is there anything that you would point to that you sort of wish the game did better or did differently or anything along those lines?
You know, I really don't have any complaints, honestly. Yeah. I don't have much to compare it to. You mentioned you play a lot of other games. I really haven't.
Yeah.
It just seems incredibly realistic. And I people may disagree. I wish the managers, like, we're the ones managing the teams, and it's very frustrating. I wish they would let go of the, like, Walt Weiss. I would like to just throw into a river sometimes. he loves to run a lot, and we're playing in Coors Field, and he's big into aggressive base running. And I kind of wish, like, some, I've been kind of lucky in that he's not that controlling. Anthony, I don't know how your manager is, but I feel bad for the people whose managers make all the decisions, that they're very controlling. And I guess my one complaint is I wish the game would let go of the manager personalities, because you're the one managing the team.
Okay.
You know, my approach, I'm not a big like micromanager, so I let my I let Mike Knapp lead to run the team as he does, and it seems to pay off quite a bit. I know one of the things I kind of, a little buggy for me is in the gameplay settings, is because of one of my third baseman has a 20 rating for running. So it kind of, the graphics are a little weird when he's fielding a ball or hitting a single. Cause you think he's almost just like crawling to first base and somehow he makes it. So.
Well, that's actually one of my, and I guess I'm probably coming at it from the wrong angle in a way, but I enjoy, I mean, I kind of, when I sit down and watch the replay of my game, I mean, that's an enjoyable experience, but I think that, I think that and I don't know whether it be on PC, or I've heard some rumors that maybe OTP would at some point go to console, but even on PC, it's certainly possible to where, I mean, if they could almost enhance that playback even more. I mean, I know that I've read that they did a lot, you know, more this year, but I don't know, like, you take a game like MLB The Show, and even like MLB The Show has like even a retro mode where it's, you know, not quite as graphically enhanced as, not, well, it's much less graphically enhanced than the main game, but it's still, I mean, I for one would sit there, I would watch my team play a 30 minute or even, you know, something like that long game with a more enhanced graphics system where you really could kind of sit back and just watch the things unfold. I don't know. For me, I would actually like that or enjoy that. So I wouldn't mind seeing the game push even further in that mode. I certainly would never want to play. You know, that's the whole beauty of out of the park baseball. I mean, I'm not suggesting of, you know, actually like controlling the gameplay, but yeah, I mean, I could see there being some improvements that maybe could be made there, where, you know, it's almost like you could actually sit back and watch your game and make that more enjoyable.
Oh, I agree. That's one of my favorite parts of the game. I should have mentioned when you asked what we liked to watch the replays afterwards. And they're getting better every year.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts.
The other thing I wondered about in that, in a similar realm there, is like, I don't know, like for the playoffs, I mean, you couldn't do this throughout the entire season because it's just way too many guys' schedules. But in the playoffs, it would almost be cool. You probably can't do this with the way that the league is set up, but to actually be online, like live with your opponent and, you know, watching the game at the same, like in real time.
It would be fun, but look at us right now. You're yeah. in Morocco. I mean, we're separated by.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pipe dream.
I think they pulled that off a little bit in the past. I know that in our hockey league, SSG Hockey, that our commissioner, Nate, and I think we've also done it in football, where the Super Bowl, at least, or the Stanley Cup final, is that if you can, you get on and he just types out the play-by-play and you're there chatting together. So it could happen, but we're so all over the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought we would, you know, of course, as we go along here, if we can certainly refer back to our, you know, different enjoyments of the game or critiques or anything like that. But I thought we'd kind of move into at this point, gentlemen, a little bit of an overview of the division. And I want to kind of come back to the idea that hopefully those other folks in the league that would listen to this would be interested in coming on and doing a similar episode with, you know, the division that you're in. Before we get to our teams, I do want to just kind of go over quickly the teams who are not represented in this podcast. Of course, would be the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. You know, my quick evaluation on the Dodgers, and of course, you know, if either of you want to chime in, I see them in some of the same way I see my own team. Now, they're still performing at a much better level at this point, but they have a number of sort of high-priced, big-name guys, but, you know, who aren't necessarily producing at that level. I mean, you take a look at, like, Verlander being a good example, to where the names and the players you would kind of anticipate would give you maybe a little bit of a better overall record than what they have right now.
Well, my assumption with the Dodgers is that they, as soon as they got rid of their previous manager, I think their chemistry went down, because I'm still fearing them to come back in August and September like they did last year and just become unbeatable.
Yeah.
Well, the Dodgers have been, I think, now, you know, I have four straight division titles, so. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think it's been really that I've just won four straight coin flips against them. But I personally think that their team for the past 3 or 4 years has just been monstrous. And I think I just sort of, it's been fun to be their, you know, their rivals for this long. But I was pretty stunned today to see on the trade block that he put up, Jerry, names like Kershaw and Verlander, and I don't know. I always see them as the best team in our division. So it's going to be really surprising here coming into the trade deadline how that goes. I mean, the Dodgers are really not that far behind.
Yeah, I was going to refer to his posting as well. with, you know, making those guys available earlier. You know, I mean, there's always a chance that, you know, a general manager just wants to kind of see what's out there, what teams might be willing to give up if someone overwhelms you. But, yeah, I mean, at the same time, there might be guys like a Verlander who's really not, you know, perhaps on the field performing up to what you would expect. And, you know, you might want to try to get rid of that salary or whatnot for subsequent years. And perhaps just kind of hovering around 500, you know, maybe also just looking to shake things up a little bit, try to provide a bit of a spark. But you mentioned previous years, the Dodgers went on a huge second half run. Is that right?
Well, yeah, well, I know last year, I think I played them like three times in August, and I only got like two wins. And like each game, like it wasn't even close. They're beating me by like four or five runs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the lineup is just monstrous. You have the Stanton and Peterson. I've been pretty fearful of them. Now, this is what every GM goes through. Like, you have to make a decision, which, in Colorado, we have to make the same decision here in 2 weeks. Do you feel like you can hang with the Padres and catch them? My AAA team in Albuquerque is just stocked with players. And, yeah, this is a plug for the trade deadline, by the way. it's just stocked with players that could come up. Like, I have a third baseman, Ernie Jones, he's just been great the last 2 years. He's been ready to come up, actually. And I'd like to thank the rest of the league for not taking me up on this, but I put Arenado out there as trade bait over the winter. And thank God no one took me up on it, because, you know, he's, you know, top of the league in batting average right now, tied with Franco and Warren. So he's having a monster year. But I got to make a decision here. I have Ernie Jones, who has to come up soon. Do I want, you know, the Dodgers are in the same boat. You know, I think Anthony's team is in a great position because they're also younger and playing well. So everything just seems to be clicking.
Yeah, I think I've been good 3 years until I have to really make some tough decisions.
Yeah. And the Padres are like my kryptonite. Like, I can't. It's just, didn't we play maybe what, 11 games in the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I don't know why I only played you pretty much for the first.
So I guess, speaking of the Dodgers, and Jerry's in a tough position. I mean, he's got, and they have money though. I still fear them a lot, and so. I won't cry if he starts selling people off. We'll put it that way. But yeah, I still, even though we're both looking up at the Padres, I still, in the back of my mind, because they've been our rivals since we started.
Yeah,
it's just hard not to think of them.
Yeah, I mean, the like you mentioned, the guys in the lineup, the talent. I mean, then you got Kershaw, Verlander, Urias. So yeah, the talent is there. But yeah, it could be sort of a situation where he feels like he's at a bit of a crossroads, and, you know, if maybe, you know, try to sell off a couple guys while still remaining competitive to make room for those guys, like you mentioned, that are coming up. Before we get into, I also wanted to touch on Arizona real quick, just with the new general manager, and of course, welcome. And I don't have the name. I'm sorry, it's escaping.
I think it's Blake.
Okay, so welcome to Blake. But yeah, I mean, Diamondbacks, they're sitting in last place. Just kind of taking a quick look. It seems like, you know, they're offensively, they don't have a number of big bats. They've got Oscar Hernandez at catcher, who's having a really good year. A third baseman by the name of Jeff Young, who's having a pretty good year as well. But then a lot of the other offensive numbers are, you know, fairly pedestrian. Now you see some you know, pretty decent young pitching with Toussaint and Bernardo Garcia, Max Fried. So looks like he's got the makings of a young and up and coming pitching staff.
Well, that, you mentioned the ratings and the team, you know, the players that in real life that are ridiculous, but he also, Arizona also has Aaron Judge. And I, you know, in real life, boy, that would be amazing, but he, just not quite panning out. Now, you have to wonder, I guess, before the trade deadline, Oscar Hernandez is, you know, the best at his position probably. So we'll see if, you know, if you're rebuilding, do you sell that guy off for a bunch of prospects, which the previous manager really didn't seem to want to do.
Yeah, I remember he was shopping Oscar Hernandez for a bit, but he never really, like, it was a pretty high price, and then I think he just said he was going to re-sign him and never did.
Well, it looks like here, too, I'm just have Stats Plus up, but it looks like Hernandez is a free agent in the offseason, so, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so, well, I didn't know that, so that, there you go. You almost have to make some sort of decision the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, it's of course more difficult to talk about a team without the general manager to give their input, and of course him being new. But that's a little bit of a look. He's got a lot of decisions to make, I guess, to try to, you know, climb out of the cellar, and you have to think you'd have to think more than likely he's. Whatever moves he would make, and like we just talked about Hernandez, would potentially be more moves for, you know, 2021.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like if he there's a lot of opportunity in his infield for to make a couple good moves to really improve the team.
Yeah, Blake's probably taken over at a perfect time.
Yeah,
everyone gets excited in July. I mean, who needs a catcher, right? Yeah, you can probably get a lot for Oscar, I'd imagine.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he doesn't get too much.
And if you look to his second best player is the backup catcher.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so he's in a pretty good position.
All right, well, we'll move on from the Diamondbacks for now. Before we get to now, we talked about the Dodgers already being a dangerous team down the stretch. But before we get to kind of the dogfight that might be setting up for you two guys, the Giants have, you know, when I first – and I feel embarrassed to say this – when I first took over, the Giants were right around 500 and kind of hovering near the – division lead, and we just kind of collapsed in recent weeks. Yeah, I mean, certainly, like I compared us to the Dodgers, which in a way might, you know, maybe don't see that. But I guess what I meant by that is just feel like I have a number of kind of high paid guys that, you know, aren't quite living up to what they're being paid. And it sort of has me in a position where I'm just like we were a bit talking about with the Diamondbacks is kind of, do you kind of turn things over? And I, my mindset isn't really that of a rebuild, but more of like a reshaping of the roster. I want to kind of try to get younger. And so when you look at guys like, you know, I have David Price who still has a year left on his contract beyond this year. You know, Kazmir is in the final year of his deal. And then, you know, I've got Kenley Jansen, guys like Michael Brantley. So these are all guys that, you know, I'm definitely considering moving on from because they're really, none of them are really performing at that great a level. They're getting paid a lot of money and, you know, they're also, but they're at the same time, they're, and I didn't even mention Justin Upton. I'm sorry. I just got him back off of injury. So, but these are also guys that have enough kind of, I guess you'd say, you know, enough profile on the league that other teams might be, you know, interested in, of course, some of those guys more than others. But.
Well, what's exciting looking at, you have, like, right, you brought up Vlad Jr. and he proceeded to hit a run in the first game. Yeah. That's me. But yeah, just seeing things like Guerrero Jr., Bissett Jr., you have all the juniors. It's exciting. It's hard not to get, especially at the end of July, it's hard not to want to trade off a bunch of people and just bring in prospects.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, in the past 2 weeks, I mean, my two most productive hitters have been Guerrero Jr. and then a first baseman by the name of Haythorne. Brought him up, and you know those two guys have been. So it kind of feeds into that mentality that you know maybe need to just sort of kind of turn things over a bit and get the roster a bit younger. See what I can get for some of these aging expensive guys. Like a David Price, like a Jansen, like an Upton, and just kind of continue that roster churn. So that's sort of where I'm at. And just being a bit frustrated, I think overall with, the starting pitching, I looked at the league rankings. I'm down towards the bottom in the league and
which is surprising. I mean, I see, you know, you see Price and Kazmir, and by the way, like playing either of you is just a pain. The left-handed, the left-handed pitching on your staffs is just, no offense, but it's just a nightmare. So yeah, feel free to go trade them. But
well, but it's like I would expect the op. We talked about the Rockies, stadium or home park factor, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more in a moment. But for me, it's like, well, San Francisco should play more of a pitcher's park, and yet, I mean, really, I mean, Price is, you know, performing fairly well. I mean, his fielding independent ERA is a run higher than his actual ERA. But I mean, yeah, so that's been a bit frustrating, and considering giving a shot to some of the younger pitching that I have. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of where I'm at is probably, you know, I don't want to use the word rebuild, but I'm definitely looking to sort of reshape. And I would be shocked if I don't make a move or two to clear some of these aging guys out. So yeah,
it kind of sounds like the real Giants. I mean, yeah, they win every other year. It doesn't seem like they rebuild the real ones anyway. So you're right in line, I guess.
Well, let's so of course now we get down to the two of you and what seems to be shaping up for a nice stretch run. Maybe just starting with the Rockies. I mean, I think that, we kind of already talked about it. You think, when I looked at the team before we started this podcast, the offensive numbers are very impressive and through the roof. And then you look at the pitching and, you know, it's about maybe what you would expect for a Coors Field pitching staff. So, yeah, I mean, tell me, the other thing I thought of with your club is that, to me, it looks like you would be in the market for a reliever or two.
Oh gosh, yeah. It seems like whoever we put in there, I guess I think I'm a little hard on my pitchers. I get angry, but look where they're pitching. Like Willie Peralta, I mean, I'm kind of stuck. I've got four of my pitchers signed really long term. You know, you look at their ratings, like I said, and I just wanted to set myself up for years. And then I really had a dilemma at the beginning of the season because Willie Peralta was the worst pitcher in the league for the first 2 months, making, you know, whatever, $16 million. So I know these aren't real people, but wow, I just wanted to set them down. But the last month he's been amazing. So which is another thing that's hard about the real life daily sim is that you do have to be patient. It's hard after your guy gets shelled not to just send him down. But yeah, we just sort of have to roll with these guys. And I think it's a good stab. Like I said, maybe I get too angry, but it's definitely interesting. Taking a team at Coors Field. I mean, you just we haven't really got going. It's just been a very frustrating season. With you know David Dahl, who's our best player, missed the first. He got injured in his first at bat and missed. Wow. Yeah, he just came back about a week and a half ago, and he's just really not playing, kicking off the rust, I guess. But somebody's been out. You know, Corey Dickerson missed 5 weeks, and then Forrest Wall just recently left. So we've never really had the full lineup. But then again, as you know, as you mentioned with the rate of the offensive rankings, that's not our issue. So it's hard to know which way to go. The Padres won't lose. So we're sitting at a wild card spot. So, you know, am I really in the right position to, you know, make any kind of moves or just sort of play it out and see what happens?
Anthony, you've been patient to get a chance to talk about your first place club. When I was looking again at some of the team rankings, I noted that both in some of the major hitting and in a lot of the major pitching categories, the Padres were in the top 10. So it seems like really a balanced club you got going right now with, you know, of course, you got two starters who are near a sub-2 ERA. But then you've got, a dangerous and powerful lineup as well. What are you looking at down the stretch to try to maintain the spot that you've developed, that you've, you know, carved out for yourself in first place?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't think my team would be this good this fast. Mm-hmm. I know I was kind of, I really wanted to build, other than like Scooter Gennett, who I took more because of his leadership skills. I was kind of surprised this year how well we're doing. I know we had a rough April. Then after that, when I changed my pitching coach, my team went from like one of the worst pitching in the league to the best. And it's what is it called? For now, I think I'm really looking for the next 2-3 years. I think for me, the only thing I really want to change is I know some of my players will be in, like some of my starters who are like 3-4 are going to be in the free agency in the next 2 years. I made a trade today to get starters in there to take over their job to pitch for the next 4 or 5 years for me. I know my big challenge coming up is that I have one of the smallest budgets in the league. And I don't think I'll be able to afford my core hitting because even in arbitration, it's going to cost me like 30, 40 million. And I only have a budget of 130 million. So I know that's going to be my biggest challenge.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would, and maybe, and that's actually, you know, when I talk about at one point, I was saying how I feel like I'm just taking my time and scratching the surface of different aspects within the game. Now for veterans of the league and of the game, I mean, maybe this would seem like a silly question I haven't put a lot of time yet into the financial side of the game. I mean, is that something that the two of you feel like you really always have to keep an eye on and make a lot of your decisions based on that?
Well, I've been lucky. We have a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm so used to being a Pirates fan for the past, you know, for the past 40 years. And in any other league I play in, I always take the Pirates.
Yeah.
I took the Rockies just because I wanted to do something different. It was really fascinating and so fun to just learn another system. But man, when you play with the Pirates, I don't know if you ever have an OTP, it is unbelievably frustrating, and you realize that's what else is great about this game. It's so accurate, and I try to tell my real Pirate fan friends, like, you don't get you don't get it how hard it is. Mm. Like I don't have San Diego's budget, and I never have had an issue. I didn't never really realize what the Rockies' real budget was, but I've never had an issue with money. And I know Jerry doesn't with the Dodgers. I don't know what San Francisco is like, but yeah, I have decisions to make. Arenado's going to be a free agent. The stuff, what he's asking for is ridiculous. He won't be a Rocky next year, I can't imagine. But yeah, I don't have an issue, but it's not something that I've ever had to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
My first year I had Cole Hamels, who was making about like $22 million. I couldn't make any transactions because that put me over my budget. So ever since then, I've been like really cautious about my money because one big player can really put me out of making any moves for the year.
Yeah, that had to be frustrating for you. See, I got to start from scratch for both of you and the Arizona and Blake in Arizona. To take over what someone else has done is very has to be frustrating. I can only blame myself if something goes wrong.
I think I was pretty fortunate because after Cole Hamels, and I was able to waive a few guys, I think the Padres were so bad for so long. I had a nice farm system of pretty developed guys at like 23, 24 years old. So
yeah,
I was pretty fortunate that way.
I've heard, and we'll try to wrap things up in the next maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Normally, I like to keep the episodes right around not too much more than an hour, but something I've noticed, and I actually saw someone mention the same in the Discord chat recently, and actually something I'm going to actively try to sort of work on, is that the age of the minor league system seems to be, it seems to trend maybe 2 or 3 years older than in real life. And not that the game has to mirror real life. I mean, obviously it's two different things, but I don't know. I like to have a farm system. I don't want to have a farm system with a bunch of kind of journeyman 27, 28, 29-year-old guys.
I'll tell you my theory on that,
yeah,
is that I am experiencing that right now. Unless you're incredibly active, we don't have any assistant GMs, we don't have minor league GMs. People just aren't active enough. I think the real life GMs, it's much easier for them to get rid of. I mean, I have kids that are 27, 28 years old that should be in the major leagues in my AAA club. But if you can't find active GMs to take them, they just sit there,
yeah,
until there's nothing much else I can do. So because we all don't have hours and hours of assistant GMs, I can't get rid of these guys. You can put them on the trade block. You can talk about them. But if guys – and I can't say I've looked at everyone's minor league system. I mean, we just don't have enough time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not the game. Maybe it's just the activity of the GMs. You understand?
Absolutely. No, it's a great point. No, you're right. I definitely agree. Although, like, I don't know, just looking at our three teams, and even the Giants being not a great team, I have the same situation, but I'm not a powerhouse team. So, but yet I'm also not a team that would be really in the market for some of those guys that you're talking about. If I'm going to give a shot to somebody, it'd probably be, you know, a younger prospect, a guy with a little bit more profile. But no, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. Absolutely. I totally,
yeah, you almost have to totally go agree. Seek out. Like, I would have to almost take the time to go seek out junk GMs who might need what I have. And yeah. I just don't have that time. So it's difficult because I have a roadblock now, and you're just going to have to end up waving people as the kids start coming up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had another point in my mind to finish up with, but now it's escaping me. Maybe I'll think about it as we finish up here. As we just do a quick little recap here, obviously we had a chance to to talk a lot about, you know, some of our most enjoyable aspects of the game, a little bit about some of the things that we would, you know, maybe like to see in terms of improvement. We had a chance to do a little overview of the National League West and, you know, shaping up to be an exciting race down the stretch with those two teams. But at the same time, as you heard both general managers say, that they're not counting the Dodgers out just yet. I mean, they certainly have a talented squad as well. So they could definitely still be heard from here down the stretch. Gentlemen, any other kind of comments or things that you wanted to make sure to say before we finish up for today?
Well, I know we say this all the time on Discord, and the league itself is fantastic. And as far as like it's just been the highlight. Now I'm a teacher. I have time in the summer. So maybe other people don't have, but it's like it's the highlight of my day to just go through my team sometimes. And it's stuff like this is fun. I know Anthony and I always, you know, DM each other and talk, and it's just been fun. It'd be fun to keep doing this and hear about each division. It's kind of neat to go first, but yeah, it's got some exciting races going, even though I know Mike likes to say certain races are over. I know his is, no offense to my brother Damon, who owns the Mariners, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, and which is a shame because his team is really good, probably, you know, better than mine, but he's, wow, the Angels and Tigers. It'd be interesting to hear a podcast about the American League. I mean, so I think this is a great thing that you did. I appreciate the time, and yeah, it's going to be fun, I think, because some really interesting wild card races going. And I don't know if we'll be able to catch San Diego, but I sure would like to at least stay in the playoff hunt. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how strong my team will keep. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep it up, but yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun race. We have a fun August and September coming up, that's for sure.
Cool.
And we have a fun division. It'll be nice to get to know Blake, but just the three of us talking here. It's always an active division. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that, we're going to kind of bring things to a close. I'll repeat once again, you know, this is, you know, I just, like you guys are saying, I mean, I've really fallen in love with the league, and really, you know, you just mentioned, you know, kind of looking at your team each day as a highlight. I share that sentiment. Even though we're kind of floundering in fourth place, I'm still kind of, you know, trying to look at different situations for the future. And so for other general managers out there, this is a series that I would really like to do, maybe even, and really in short order here. I don't want to have there be a long delay in between episodes, especially with the trade deadline coming up. It's sort of ripe for these conversations. So you know, I'll try to start getting other divisions covered, you know, if I can even get two done in a week, or
that'd be great.
That's,
yeah, that would be awesome.
That's,
and let me put out a plug once again, if you're listening, please come window shopping in our minor league system. We want to make some moves.
All right. So yeah, the Rockies have a nice little minor league system they're willing to deal from.
Lots of outfielders.
Padres, anything you want to say of the little public service announcement for your for the trade deadline?
Do you know what? I'm not a big trader.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the next couple episodes, because I find each GM I talk to has a different perspective of the game and how they run their team. And I've been kind of – I mostly talk to the NL West, and I have one of my friends is the GM of the Blue Jays. And other than that, I don't know how many of the management strategies. So I think this is – I'm kind of excited to hear the next episode.
Cool. Yeah, well, for me, to the league, I mean, I do have these, I guess I have some, they're definitely making money, but I have these guys that I think could help a team that's in contention, but they're for my organization, I'm just sort of ready to move on. And so you're talking about guys like David Price, Kenley Jansen, Kazmir, you know, I don't know how much somebody would want him unless they really are looking for a lefty, but he's available. And then
I need one. Maybe we should talk.
Justin Upton. Oh, do we trade within the division in this league? I don't...
Not so much.
Yeah, I would assume not. But, you know, probably more so than in real life. We got off on this bit here just wanting to reach out to those others in the league. If you if this is something, if you feel like you're comfortable coming on and talking about, even if we end up having more than just three people in the division able to come on and talk, that'd be fine. And reach out to me through Discord. Thanks to the two of you, and thanks to, of course, SSG for
should be getting to bed.
Yeah, really, for allowing. I will be as soon as we finish up here. But, so look for future episodes, and we'll finish it up there. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.